Welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne. And I have with me today Jody Amen. And she's someone that's an expert, if you will, at how teaching people on how to find peace amongst anxiety. So welcome, Jody.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
I'm very happy to have you. And anxiety is a very huge issue in our society. So first of all, I would love for you to share with the audience a little bit about your background, meaning how did you get into counseling people and consulting with people? And then I'm going to ask you a few more questions. But I don't like to be the storyteller of who somebody is. I find it so much more impactful when someone else becomes a storyteller because you know me better than I know you. So I'd love for you just to share how you got into what you do.
Great. I would love to. Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm so excited to be here. And I have been helping people with anxiety. I've been counseling people with, you know, dealing with problems in their life for about over 20 years. And I think, you know, when I was in high school, I wanted to be an architect and I wanted to create. I was a bit of an artist and I wanted to create. And then I began to get involved with helping other people, like being part of like a campus ministry, and we served the poor and we did different programs and we raised money. And that really shifted me so much. I felt so good about that. I loved the relationships I began to have with people. And I decided to go into social work. So here I am. So I went into school, I did social work, and I began my career working with families. Working with young kids, families, and their families, and just love the diversity of it. You're working with adults, you're working with children, you're working with families, groups together, and it was just such a wonderful experience. So also then, in my childhood, I had a lot of anxiety. And at first, I didn't even know the name of it. I didn't know what it was, but I experienced it so deeply. And when I was really young, I was 5 years old. That's when anxiety was introduced into my life, and I was coming home from an activity with my father, and I learned about the presidents, Lincoln and Washington, and on the way home, I was just this carefree five-year-old. I just, you know, the world was my oyster. I just was having so much fun in life. Things were good. And on the way home, I absentmindedly asked my dad, you know, where are the presidents now, Daddy? And he said, They're dead. And that was my introduction to suffering, to pain and suffering, that the fact that this all could end, and it could end at any time. And I was so out of my mind, terrified of that lack of control and not knowing that, you know, I couldn't leave my mom's side for months. I cried. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I just withdrew from everything. I know as a five-year-old, there's not much you're doing, but it came and went for years and years in my life. And after I was married, it came on really big again, and I had to really face a lot of things and cure myself of it, and I did. And I used those same tactics with my clients over and over again. And, you know, when you're a therapist and you sit in a room with somebody, one person, an hour, for 8 hours, and you're kind of going over the same thing over and over, you kind of feel like, I want to teach this in big groups. You know, I want to share this with more people because it's limited just seeing 8 people a day. And so that's when I got into writing and blogging and just trying to get my message out there in a bigger way and helping people. And I developed an online anxiety program. And next week, I think, I'm so excited about it. This is the best, is I created a program for children, for parents with children who have anxiety. And there's videos for the kids. They're really fun. And there's videos for the adults. And it's like, I'm so excited about that. I'm so proud of this program, and I think it's going to help so many people. I've dedicated my life to helping people overcome their fears and live a life with vitality because I know it's possible. I lived it. I did it. And it's so much easier this way. So much easier to live without anxiety.
I agree. Anxiety is an energy. I call it an energy suck because so much. The anxiety sucks so much energy from you. You're tired, you're overtired, you don't sleep well, your mind is just constantly racing. It's not a happy place to be.
It's really
hard. I love the fact that you're working with kids. I think it's such a almost like underserviced area. And especially one thing I like that you said was, because I think this is a pivotal piece, you said your father just came out and said, you know, they're dead. And I think the whole culture of how we talk about death.
Oh, and, man.
To children and even in our society is actually a really almost toxic way that we do it, because we have words like funeral, mortuary, you know, death. Those aren't warm or comforting, you know, feelings versus the words like celebration of life or, you know, transitioning, or, you know, there's so many other language that we could use, and we tend to focus on more of these dark, somber words. So I think that is also an area where, especially for what you do, that it'd be wonderful to teach and work with children and parents on educating on how to talk to our children about death and transitioning and all that, instead of just coming out and saying, oh, by the way, they're dead. Right.
Yeah.
And what that created for you, which was, you know, panic and anxiety that you dealt with for a long time.
And I think it was my father's panic and anxiety. That's what you're saying, I think, is that, you know, when parents have the energy behind death as a fear energy, then kids learn that how horrible this is. And so that it's a learn. Anxiety is learned. You know, fear is biological. You know, we have this fear response, and it's just this our body's amazing. You know, it just does amazing things. And we have this biological fear response. So if danger comes on, you know, our amygdala sets off those hormones in our body that, you know, get our muscles ready and get our eyes ready and get our brains ready. And so we're ready before our cognition comes. You know, then the amygdala sends the message to the cortex and tells the cortex, okay, check this out. Our body's ready before we even think about it. And it's a problem when you have anxiety, but it's amazing for biological survival if there's danger, you know, if there's a dangerous situation. So, but anxiety itself, like, there's just nothing good about it. That's learned, because that's when we feel that fear response, but there's no, that's what I call anxiety. So it's useless, and it's actually really harmful to us. You know, a lot of people say, well, some anxiety is good because it protects us. And I'm afraid that that's really difficult for us to get. If some anxiety is good and some is not, it's really hard to figure that out. But what we're really talking about is common sense is really awesome to keep yourself safe. You know, being cautious or thinking about or planning out and being safe in your life, those skills are amazing. But that, I don't see that as anxiety. I see anxiety as that body response, the sympathetic nervous system response when there's no physical danger. We don't know what to do with that. You know, we can't take any action to protect ourselves. There's nothing to do. We feel totally helpless. And it just perpetuates and really keeps us suffering so much.
So the other things I'd just like to touch upon is, one, I just want to put out there to the audience that, A, you know, if anyone's depressed or having issues, realize that asking for help, I don't care if it's a minister you go to, a church rescue center, a psychologist, a counselor, whatever terminology fits for you, please dial 911 if you're having any sort of thoughts that may be harmful to yourself. Or please, and please realize that when we ask for help, it's not weakness, it's strength. So I really encourage everyone to do that. The other thing I liked about your, you know, in exploring who you are and in your blog and all that, you tend to lean, I guess, more, and I actually like this because I know in my having grown up with sexual, verbal, physical abuse, and I finally had to go reach out for help, I didn't like the dogmatic, you know, social workers or counselors or psychotherapists and all that, because you'd walk in there and it was very rigid and it was very medical or clinical. And it wasn't until I found this one lady who, in my terminology, was more metaphysically oriented and more spiritual. And she had crystals in her room. I was like, oh, I'm home. You know, I felt like I really could talk to her. So I saw that with your kind of work and in your languaging on your site. So I'd love for you to share a little bit about that side. Like, in other words, for you, how have you integrated spirituality into your work, and how does that look like?
Well, that came out of my own journey as well. So when I, you know, when I was anxious and I had a lot of stomach problems, you know, Western medicine couldn't really help me. Really, they had no answers for me, and they just told me to decrease my stress. And so I looked to alternatives, you know, so it took my health crisis really to look for alternatives and start to learn about this whole other world. And when you're anxious, I mean, there's something really spiritual about, there's something that spirituality really heals for that, because you're questioning why we're here, why bad things happen, why did this happen to me? Like these kind of questions, I feel like are spiritual questions. They're bigger questions. Like the answers to those questions, we don't find really in the world of form. You know, we don't, it's not like this happened to you because you did this. It's not like a cause and effect sort of thing. These are really esoteric reasons why we go through hardship. And maybe we don't have those answers, but it's not like you just look it up in a book. Why do people get sexually abused? And you look it up in the book and it says, people get sexually abused because da 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 da. No, there's no answer to those questions. So they're spiritual questions. It's like, why do bad things happen to good people? And so to leave out the spirituality of people trying to get a hold of what's going on in their life, like our mind is searching for answers, right? When stuff doesn't make sense to us, it's too hard to process that. You know, we can't deal with chaos. You know, in nature is total chaos. So if you put a person in the woods and you say, stay under this tree for 3 hours, and you come back 3 hours later and they're going to like line up pebbles bigger, 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 or they're going to line sticks up in a row. Like we need order, even if we just make it on a micro level. And so the fastest way to get order is to blame. And all too often when we're young and somebody hurts us, we blame ourselves. This is horrible on our psyche, and it's a terrible way, and incredible, incredible suffering. And so our mind searching for answers, we need answers, and we decide to blame ourselves. But part of us knows that, and we're defending ourselves. So we keep searching for these answers. We blame ourselves, defend ourselves, blame ourselves, defend ourselves, and our mind keeps searching and searching. And so if you try to heal that in a non-spiritual space, like there's no answer to why someone hurts you. I mean, it comes out of their own misery, you know, but those answers aren't good enough either. Our mind still wants more. And so people really, I think, come to counseling. They do want a spiritual, it's just a spiritual thing to get a grasp on what goes on in their life. I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. And I think in all my interviews, it seems that the conversation of how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go comes up. Because mm-hmm. the reality is everyone's dharma, karma, philosophy, belief system is so vast and so different. And it's like one of those endless conversations, you know, is there fate? Is there destiny? Is there reincarnation? You know, does karma really exist? You know what I mean? So it's one of those like really extensive questions. And I think it's just one of those things where people need to get in touch with whatever that spirituality or belief system is and find somebody that you can reach out to and talk to that resonates for you or you feel comfortable and exploring with. So I really do believe that's kind of just the way I think we're all guided to people, or we find, you know, people in our journey.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind
of. Sometimes we find people who are not very helpful to us. And so, you know, maybe that's part of our journey too. I mean, it doesn't make sense necessarily, but maybe it's just an invitation to do something a different way. And we, you know, it's just so much of this life doesn't make sense at all. And so we have to just trust ourselves or learn how to trust ourselves. So that's what I really focus on a lot in my work with people is in anxiety. I mean, anxiety is really the opposite of trust. You know, you're not trusting the world. You're not trusting yourself. You're not trusting that you could handle anything. You just feel so vulnerable because you don't trust anything. And so my main focus is in helping people trust, which means, you know, they have to forgive themselves. We have to get rid of that self-blame. It's just essential to get rid of, to feel better about yourself. And it's so pervasive in our culture, this judgment. So it's a big part of my work. But
that can feel. I totally agree with you. It's the self-forgiveness piece. And there's, I don't know, for some reason, it's the self-forgiveness. And within all that, there's a ton of guilt.
Yeah, and I lump those all in together. Absolutely. Oh, sorry, I interrupted you. But I lump that all in together. Self-blame, guilt, shame, all that kind of is all kind of the same animal I see. You know, it's lacking trust in yourself or feeling like you're not enough. I mean, people think of that distinctly different. Like when you feel like you're not enough, it's guilt to me. That's guilt. And when you really unpack all problems, there's always guilt at the source of all of them, or fear. And then when you really unpack it further and further, guilt and fear are the same thing. they're kind of the same thing. Like, you're afraid that you're not good enough. You're afraid you can't handle things because you're not good enough. I mean, they're really the same at their very, very center.
And it's interesting because packed within that is the deep-seated shame about feeling those things. Like, I have shame because I have fear. I feel shame because I'm not good enough. I feel shame. So it's kind of interesting once you really get it. Like you said,
it's all the same. It's all the same thing.
Packing everything, and you realize it's energetically, they're all, as I like to use the word, interconnected.
Yeah, they are. Shame, guilt, and fear. They're all the same. Self-blame. You could call it doubt. You could call it whatever you want. It's really all kind of the center of all our problems. And they kind of limp on, you know, like we have something happen to us and then we have a response to it, which is totally appropriate. I mean, we're human and we grieve or we feel betrayed or whatever, we get hurt. And then we start to have judgments on top of that, you know, like, oh, I'm taking it personally. Why do I take it personally? Why can't I get over this faster? Why did this happen to me? Everything always happens to me. Then we have worries on top of that, like, oh my gosh, how long is this going to last? How am I going to get through this? I'm never going to have a future. And so our original feeling is totally appropriate. And it's like this big, you know, the sadness or this, you know, this feeling of loss. Then we have the judgments. Then we're judging ourselves or judging ourselves. And it piles on. And then we have all these worries and it piles on. And pretty much our problems are like this. But that's all the guilt and the fear, really. The original stuff is like that. And to me, that's Buddhism, really. That's what Buddha was talking about. And so it's so interesting. That's really why I have such a deep faith, is because all of these spiritual leaders are all saying the same thing. You know, be kind to everybody. And you can have pain, but you can have angst, or you can have pain and suffering and the difference between it. You know, when you really listen to all of these leaders, there's such a similarity in them. And so you know that information is coming from somewhere else. You know, that they're all being inspired from a different plane. And so that really drove home to me so much of this work that I do and knowledge or understanding that I have about the world. It can't be a coincidence.
Oh, absolutely. I also get that. I also loved, I'm looking at your scenery behind you, and I'm almost thinking that you might be in the little bungalow that you've created behind your house where you hold some sessions and retreat.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I actually grew up, by the way, in New York State. However, I grew up in Westchester County. And I actually did live in Rome, New York for a little while. But anyways, I'm looking at the green behind you, and I had read everything. And I'm like, I put the shoes in the bungalow.
I know it's not good to have the light behind me, but I just wanted, it's so beautiful here. I just wanted people to see.
Oh, no, it's gorgeous. And actually, you're very blessed because the lighting is actually okay. And you're right. Usually with windows, it washes you out. However, we don't have that problem. Yeah. The other thing I get that you understand, which is I can resonate with you a lot, is that I know that you get bridging the East and the West because, you know, you have the Western education background. And I know that you've dabbled, and not just dabbled, but you've done some work with people and study with people for herbology. And I like you, have spent two paths. The Western path has been all along my life, and the metaphysical path and aromatherapy and herbology and energy healing and all that has always been on my other path. So they've always been, you know, simultaneously moving. So I love the fact that you don't just do talk therapy or talk counseling, that you do all these other modalities, the retreats, and you look into herbs, or, you know, you look at people individually and as a group. And I think that's really beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. It fits together really easily for me, because really talk therapy is about changing beliefs. So talk therapy is an energy therapy too. It's an energy work. You know, changing beliefs and changing your story changes your life. It changes your energy. It changes everything. It changes your behavior, changes your feelings. And so, you know, what we think does so much, creates our world. And so I don't know, I do believe in talk therapy, but I see it as a metaphysical therapy, actually.
Well, I think, like you said, we can only go over one statement over and over and again so much, and it doesn't really serve to a certain degree. So having all the different facets and ways of working with people actually, in my opinion, works faster and better, if you will.
That's why I like shamanism so much, because really like anything goes. You know, there's a recognition that there's so many different ways to heal. You know, you could have a herb or have some tea or meditate. Actually, you don't need anything. You know, you could go into you could use rocks to heal. You could use air to heal. You could go away on a trip. You could do a lay on the ground. I mean, you could eat cat food and heal. Like there's just so many different ways. And so that's what drew me to that practice, is that sometimes people heal when they do like that ancient Hawaiian energy healing, and some people don't, and some people heal when they get acupuncture, and some people don't, and some people heal with shaman and some don't. So like, how does it, you know, how do we make sense of all of that? How do we make sense of Reiki works here and it doesn't work here? And it has to do with so much. You know, it has to do with the person's journey. It has to do with the person's beliefs. It has to do with the practitioner. I mean, there's so much involved in that, and that we can't understand really with our like human brains. But in shamanism, like, you can't do one thing. You just go another way. You go another way. You're just open to all of it. And that's why I've never really studied something like, I would love to study acupuncture. I would love to study all these things, but it's like, you don't need any of those things. You know, you just need beliefs and changing beliefs. And so, you know, you could bring the power of all those things without them.
There's been a lot of interesting studies, and as everybody I know has heard this one, the placebo effect. It boils down to beliefs. If I believe I'm getting a Western radioactive isotope injected in me, and I truly believe that radioactive isotopes could heal my cancer, it will. No different than what they've done surgery on. Everybody had knee surgery, and they all had the same like physical ailment within their knee, and they gave everyone an incision on their knee, like literally cut them open, and half of them had the surgery to actually fix it, and the other half didn't, and the ones that didn't have it actually fixed still healed. So it really is like you said, goes down to our belief. Do I believe flower essences are going to heal me, or herbs are, or acupuncture, or whatever your modality is? And like you, I think part of the problem in society is that we attempt to cookie cutter things. So, you know, we think that, you know, so this phone, this person is this, and it only works this way, versus looking at an individual and going, okay, you know, what is your background? What are your beliefs? You know, what resonates for you? And then tailoring a program or, you know, whatever that is for that person based on their archetype, their belief systems. Their style may, and I also look when I work with people, I'm also looking at the style of learning. Do they prefer to read, to hear, to touch, we're multi-sensory beings. And some people learn by doing. Some people learn by reading. Some people learn, you know, because they need to see a video. So I think we as a society need to kind of literally start reframing and how we look at things, and start looking at the person as an individual and finding out how they tick, how they learn. You know, what is their, you know, primary, you know, visual, kinesthetic, audio, whatever. Just getting into all those other facets of a human being.
That's great. Yeah. Just looking at a person as a whole.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I do that too sometimes. Sometimes if I don't want to get up and get myself, you know, some little remedy, I'll just imagine I'm taking it. It's the same thing. You know, it's a frequency, right? So when we put something on our lips, a frequency goes to our brain and says, you have catnip tincture. And so if we just think about that catnip tincture, can't that same frequency go to our brain and we get that same effect? So it's, I don't know. That's why I think of it sometimes.
Oh, and this conversation isn't for everybody. You know, some people might say it's out there. It might be a little woo-woo for them. And for some people, it's like perfect, the metaphysical, spiritual conversation about psychotherapy or counseling. And for some people, they think we're nuts, and that's all good. I do want to tap into a couple things, because you and I are just part of a movie called The Secrets of the Keys. And one of the questions I always like to ask everybody is, you know, there's lots of self-development movies out there. Why did you choose to work on this one?
Well, you know, there was a great energy with this movie. Robin, who, you know, created the movie, has an amazing energy. She's just a magnetic person. And so you kind of know that, that she makes amazing things happen. And she connects people to other amazing people. And so you know, to know that so immediately when I met her was pretty, and it's so striking. She's so striking as energy. And so I was like, oh yeah, I want to do that. And I almost didn't even, it was all intuitive really. I mean, I didn't even think about it or really try to, you know, process it like cognitively, like, is this a good idea for my career? It was like, I want to be part of this. I just was like, I want to be part of this. There's, you know, this is going to be amazing. There's amazing people part of it. And it was, I mean, the experience isn't over because, you know, when the movie comes out, it's just going to be amazing. But the experience of filming it was fantastic. Just wonderful, wonderful people. The director, Michael, what a beautiful soul. Just really loved him. Even like the techs, the sound guys and they were just so sweet. Everyone was wonderful. The stars in the show, brilliant. I mean, it was such a great class act and so much love involved in it. And Robin's great at helping you get your story out and expressing yourself. She just is so encouraging and did a great job. And I think that my message in the movie, I'm so proud of it, really, because it's just a message that we all have to hear. And I'm so excited for people to hear it and that message to be spread so far. I know there's a lot of great messages, and I didn't hear them all because I didn't see the whole movie together. I know bits and pieces about what's happening, so I'm excited to see all of it. But I'm just proud of my little part because that's all I know, and it was really fun, and I was so happy to be involved, actually.
So you can, I know we can't share lots because we, you know, want it to be when it comes out. You can share the actual key that you spoke about just so people, you know.
Yeah, I speak about the key of empathy. Empathy, of course, I'm a counselor. I talk about empathy. That's what I know the most, right? Because, you know, when people, you know, a long time ago I was reading Leo Biscaglia. Do you know this author?
I love him.
And so he was talking about just walking with somebody where they're at. And that's really what I do, is like just walk with somebody. And I kind of think about that as my life goal. I just hold people's hands and I allow them to be who they are. And I understand. And it's so transformative before I do anything, just doing that. And so I was so happy to be speaking about the key of empathy, because that's not what I talk about, but that's where my heart is. And so, and you know, the message that I share, I think is pretty amazing. So anyway, you know, I live empathy every day, and I think it's so healing to the people that I touch. And that's what I hope to keep doing until I'm old and gray.
Beautiful. I'd love for you to share with people where they can find you. I know you have a couple programs. I know you have an online community and you have a book. So I'd love for you just to share a little bit about that. I know you have your main website, which is your name, Jodi Amon. I did not even say that right. Amen. Or so now I'm going to say amen.
Got it.
We're talking about religion. I'm all confused right now. I know your main website is jodiaman.com. But I also know you have a couple programs going on. And I'm sure that if they go to the main website, though, it'll link to everything else. But I'd love for you just to share just a little bit about, you know, there's a couple programs you have going on.
Sure. Thank you so much. So my main program is Give Fear the Boot, you know, GIVEFEARTHE. Wait, I have dyslexia. Well, that is very hard for me.
I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this unless it's in front of me. So
I think they could get it. GiveFearTheBoot.com. No spaces, obviously.
That's a URL. So people get into their names, it gets confusing, or have, you know.
Right, because people have different spellings. But these are, you know, these are English words. GiveFearTheBoot.com. My kids program is coming out in a couple of days. GiveFearTheBootKids.com. I have a meditation program that you could get from my website. It's just jodiamon.com/guided-meditations. But you could get it from my homepage. You'll see it on there. It's a 21-day meditation series. It is like a fraction of the price of the other ones that are out there. And I created and designed and recorded all of these meditations on my own. And they are deeply healing meditations. I'm really incredibly proud of those as well. I've had really great feedback from that program. People just having really transformative experiences by listening to these meditations. They're guided meditations, so they have, you know, different processes of letting go and different processes of bringing on more of what you want. And they're pretty great. So those are the programs that I have. I have a retreat coming up here in my space. It's so awesome here. And that's September 11th through 13th. You can see that on my website too. I'm just going to have a very small group spending really intimate time with me. And I'm going to just really, it's going to be awesome. I have a great program created for that.
So I encourage everyone to go to the main website, in which is Jodi, J-O-D-I, and then A-M-A-N, her last name, .com. Because if you go to her main page, literally all the programs that she was just mentioning, Give Fear the Boot, Live Free from Anxiety, all that is literally the Living Free 21-Day Guided Meditation. It's all on that page. So you can just scroll down, click on Learn More, and it'll take you to the landing page for those specific programs.
Yeah, and my social media is, you know, attached to the top. I'm on Facebook all over the place and on Twitter, and I do a lot of, you know, just share a lot of inspirational stuff, personal stuff, and I have a great community down there commenting, responding, and people are getting to know each other from around the world, so it's kind of fun.
It's beautiful. I really want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me. I'm really excited as well as you to have the movie come out. If anybody would like to, and I encourage everyone to actually go to thekeymovies.com, and that's thekeymovies.com. Learn more about Robin Jay, the producer and writer, and you'll see your previous movie that she's won awards for, The Keeper of the Keys, and now we're into our second one, The Secret of the Keys. Beautiful people on there, John Astaroff, we got Don Miguel Ruiz, Daniel Brinkley, and one Brian Tracy. We got so many amazing people on there, like Jodi, and just a bunch of amazing people. I love bringing you guys valuable content. I look forward to being with you next week. You can always find me, your host, Carly Lissathorn, at myname.com, CarlyAlyssathorne.com. I wish everyone a fabulous day. And thank you so much, Jodi, for being with me.
Thank you.